A tale of two oppressed communities. At first glance, the communities of Ferguson in Missouri and of Gaza in the Israeli-occupied territory share virtually nothing in common. One is situated in the richest nation on earth. The other sits on ancient lands, lands that are constantly shrinking under the occupation. One is predominantly African American. The other is populated by Palestinian Arabs. One is ostensibly free. The other, largely under the military control of a foreign power. What unites these two communities is the commonalities of oppression, for both experience the ubiquitous presence of armed outsiders, whose job, it seems, is to make their lives miserable. Ferguson, Missouri, where the overwhelming majority of the population is black, live under a predominantly white administration that cares little for that community. It is a living snapshot of an affront to democracy. Gaza, where the majority of the population are Muslim and Christian Arabs, live under the constant threat of military occupation and control of every aspect of Gazan life. Oh, and yes, oppression kills. In both societies, racism against the inhabitants takes on stark and undeniable violence against the people. There, special repression is reserved for the young. We saw that in Palestine, where children were targeted by Israeli police for horrific violence, beatings, and even killings. Ferguson burst on the scene after the ugly shooting of a teenager named Mike Brown. As for Palestine, generations have lived shattered lives, especially since 1948, when the League of Nations, later to become the UN, ceded Palestinian lands to the newly created state, Israel. But let us not suppose Israel's growth was accomplished merely by a British grant of land. Land was seized by force, armed force, and yes, terrorism. The terrorism of the Irgun Zvi Leumi, the Haganah and the Stern Gang, which attacked scores of villages throughout Palestinian lands, like the village Al-Dawayima, where, according to one elder, some 580 Arab civilians were slain. Yosef Namani, a Zionist insider, said plainly that, quote, massacres were part of a general policy or campaign of expulsion, a means of prodding the villagers, unquote. The British and U.S. supported Zionist project was made possible by these mass expulsions of Palestinians. 1947 and 1948 marked not just Israel's establishment, but the disestablishment of Palestinian sovereignty and power. Britain, and later the U.S., wanted an attack dog, a pit bull, to protect their oil possessions in the region. Israel fit the bill, and U.S. taxes to the tune of $3 billion a year goes to the country to build Fortress Israel. But it's not just American money that fuels Israel's mega militarization. It's Americans who settle in Israel and bring with them American-style racism and imperialist thinking. Think of the Likud party's Benjamin Netanyahu, the most bellicose prime minister in history. He's from right outside of Philadelphia, the suburbs of Cheltenham and Bryn Mawr, where he went to high school. For them, Zionism is but a form of U.S. manifest destiny. And the Arabs? They're the Apaches. Through land theft, guerrilla raids, and terrorist attacks, the Palestinians have been whittled down to its miserable present, modern-day Bantustans, where they are living on the shredded margins of their ancestral lands. Like the Indians of U.S. memory, they live in the equivalent of reservations, the worst land left. As the recent Gaza-Israeli war showed us, the Zionists place no value on Arab lives. The Zionist state was built on Europe's bad will. For although under the trusteeship of Britain, they offered other people's lands, not an acre of their own. That bad seed has sprouted into the horror of today. Two communities, one oppression. From Imprisoned Nation, This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.